All right. So, like I said before, I'm going to try and get through this without coughing, so there will be a cough drop in probably the whole time, but we'll make it anyways. I forgot to mention where we were going to be last week. We'll be in Ephesians in those three different places. So just so I don't forget, next week, at the very least, I want to look at 2 Chronicles 20 by request. And remember, I'd be glad to take requests of places you want to go look, but next week, we may have to do another one. I don't know if we can make a whole class out of 2 Chronicles 20, but at the very least, 2 Chronicles 20 for next Sunday. We've been doing a lot of Old Testament prayers, so I want to go New Testament tonight with Ephesians. But part of the challenge with Ephesians is that Paul moves in and out of prayer so smoothly that sometimes it's hard to tell where he starts and stops. So we're going to be talking about these places. That's where we're going to read. But if you want to draw our attention to something else in Ephesians, I'd be glad for you to do that. Don't feel like you have to stick to these texts. So I've been neglecting to do this too. Before we start, I want to pray and then we'll jump in. So would you pray with me, please? We're thankful to you, God, that you give us this time to be together, to look into your word. Help us to see the truth. Help us to have open and honest hearts that we might be changed by your truth. Help us to have good discussion. Be with us through this hour, and we're thankful to you through Jesus. Amen. All right. So first place that I'd ask you to go is Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just jump right in. Can I get somebody to read chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, please?
I got it. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is to be named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
Thank you, Eric. So, this isn't exactly, you know, word for word writing down, but he's reporting to the Ephesians what he's been praying about. So, what are the different pieces that you see here?
Thanks.
He gives thanks for what?
For them.
For them, but what about them? There's a couple of particular things that he names. He's thankful for their faith in Jesus. Why be thankful for the faith of others in your prayers?
Encouraging.
It's good. It's encouraging, you know, that there are other people doing the same thing. Other thoughts?
It helps build and bring each other together as a part of the church, if everybody is strong in their faith.
Yeah, everybody having strong faith is a good thing to, you know, build us all up. But even then, too, maybe if we make mention of this in public prayers, too, you know, I'm thankful to have seen the faith of all these people here. Other thoughts? I think maybe for me this is something to add to the toolbox of things to pray. I don't know if it's often that I give specific thanks for the faith of other people, but something useful there. What's the other thing that Paul says he's thankful for? For their love for all the saints. What sort of things might he be talking about? What makes him say that? I mean, this is just speculation, but what would make us want to say this?
Good works.
Good works, like what?
Caring for the widows and orphans.
Yeah, sure. What else? Eric, you look like you want to
hospitality, giving, you know, early church obviously had a lot of problems with, you know, money in places. Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't very wealthy. Overall, so moving money around to make way for the faith.
Yeah. What else? Thankful for the love of your brethren. Go ahead.
We all
all go through challenges and trials in life, right? And some of those trials are, you know, pretty disgusting. It's like, man, do I really want to help you through that? Like, maybe I should just let you do it yourself. But no, that's part of loving each other and helping each other.
Being willing to get messy with other people's messes. That's good. Thank you.
Think about the greatest command. Love,
mm-hmm.
love God.
Yeah. Love God, love your neighbor. Absolutely. And so whenever we see that going on, well, there's a reason to give thanks to God. We see people pouring out love. And we can see it in small things all the time, or things that we might want to sometimes call small. But I also, there are big, you know, sometimes we see these big, giant things that people do. I remember when I was in, I went to college at Lamar in Beaumont. And week number one of school was Hurricane Harvey week. So I wasn't in Beaumont for the time they had us evacuate, but that means I was there for the aftermath of it. And the outpouring of love that came in that was really impressive and something that we gave thanks for regularly after that. In fact, we had Matt Bastard write a song for us to commemorate the love that brethren showed us. And it wasn't just financial either. There was a couple that moved from Ohio or somewhere up north and lived in Beaumont for 6 months just working in people's houses that had flooded. I mean, it's just, these, you know, it's everything from that down to little daily things. So, thankful for the love of our brethren. That's always a good thing for. What else do you see in Paul's prayer there? So, thanksgiving is a piece. What else?
Well, Hunter,
go ahead.
I think he uses these two things, the faith in the Lord and love of the saints, as kind of a springboard for things that he wants to increase for them, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of taking that small seed and praying that it grow.
Absolutely. And that'll factor in too in the piece we look at in chapter 3 too. What else do you see in this part, in this stuff here in chapter 1 that Paul prays? Not just thanksgiving, what else?
He prays for hope. I mean, he wants them to have hope.
To have hope. So, are you looking at verse 18?
Yes. I mean, he's praying for that they'll have wisdom and revelation, but he wants them to be enlightened. But what he wants them to see is, we've been called to hope.
We've been called to hope. What do you think? What is that hope?
The riches of his glorious inheritance.
Absolutely. So, in Ephesians 1, there's sort of a flip in inheritance. Because earlier in the chapter, in verse 11, or the end of 10, in him we have obtained an inheritance, predestined according to his purpose, who works all things in the counsel of his will. And so we talk about this great inheritance that we have, and then inheritance turns around here, his inheritance in the saint.
So with hope, that seems like he's saying, I want you to be able to see that this is going to end well. I mean, this is going to end gloriously.
Yeah. Great hope. And so that actually sits... Nancy mentioned it. So in verse 17, he's asking that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In verse 18, I think that sort of begins a restatement. He says that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That's a neat phrase to just gnaw on, that it's, you know, not just knowing it up here, but our heart can see it. And then he gives these three things under it. Or I think there's three, if I remember right. Hope is one of them. What else? Cole, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think this little part of this prayer is a lot of what we do for new converts, but not something we typically do for the whole congregation.
Yeah.
I think we kind of pray, hey, let this person grow, let the person, you know, as they become a new person under baptism, but we don't continue to. It doesn't seem like we continue to do it for each other because there is always room to grow. So I think it's interesting. He's praying for the whole place of new converts to grow, but he's praying it for them after he's already established something, you know, after something's already been established there.
Absolutely. And one of the interesting things about Ephesians is that it's generally written with a more universal view in mind. There are not many specifics in the letter. In fact, some contend that it wasn't even written to Ephesus, it was just written to Christians. And so that he would pray this for everybody that's included, it's a neat thing to see. What else is he asking that the eyes of their heart may see? Hope is one piece.
Glorious inheritance.
the glorious inheritance. Whose inheritance is it in verse 18, though?
The saints.
In the saints. So
it's
His inheritance in the saints.
Yeah.
So God or Christ's inheritance in us, mm-hmm. which is interesting to think about that we would be thought of as an inheritance for Him. That sort of turns that word back around from the way we might normally think of it. What's the third piece?
Greatness of His power.
The surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. What is Paul's evidence for this power that he gives?
Christ being raised from the dead.
That's the proof that God has this immense power that's, you know, the surpassing greatness of it. It's immense. It's beyond what we can imagine. And so, how can we use that idea in prayer?
We limit him.
Say again?
We limit him.
What do you mean by that?
In our prayers. I do. I shouldn't say we. I catch myself doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, great, all these superlatives, you know.
Absolutely.
I need to stop it.
We can limit God in our prayers. Or, you know, sometimes it's hard to imagine that He could do this thing or that He'd be willing to do this thing. And Paul calls to mind the surpassing greatness of the power that's available to his people. And we can say more about that in chapter 3 in a few minutes. And then one thing I want you to notice about these pieces too, that he's asking that the eyes of their heart may see, is that they all come back to God. It's His hope that we've been called to. It's His inheritance and His power. And we didn't read it, but the verse 3 up at the beginning says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And so it opens with this statement that we've got all this great stuff. I mean, every spiritual blessing. And so I think that, to me, that that connects to verse 18 when he's praying that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened. It's not, I'm coming to you. It's not that these things aren't already there. It's just that you'll know it's there. It's already out there. Go ahead, sister.
Well, in certain areas in the scriptures in the New Testament, it talks about they that have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what the Spirit say unto the church. And so we pray, God, open our eyes, open the eyes of our heart,
mm-hmm.
that we may see you, hear you, recognize it's you and follow you, and give us an understanding heart, and help us to follow your lead, follow the Spirit.
Absolutely. So I think that's a great way to incorporate some of these ideas into our own prayer, that we would have the eyes of our heart enlightened to know all these great things that God has done for us and given to us.
And on the flip side of that, you can have eyes, but you really can't see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're spiritually dead, you don't have eyes to see what God is saying and leading. And we want our hearts to be open and receptive to God, because we can have eyes and ears and we think we hear and see, but we don't.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I appreciate that connection to having eyes that see and ears that hear with this phrase, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, which sort of gives a sense of a deeper knowledge than just surface.
Yeah. I think it's maybe a word that we have used, but this idea of understanding,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you have wisdom, you have knowledge, you have mm-hmm. eyes. Well, do the eyes actually see? Do the ears actually hear? Do they,
mm-hmm.
do they understand?
Right.
And I think it's so beautiful what Paul does here with all of these understanding words. I mean, spirit of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
revelation, knowledge of Him, having the hearts enlightened that you may know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and he just keeps piling on, and he'll pile on in Ephesians 3,
yeah.
as we all know. But here he piles on that idea of understanding, And I think that, you know, talk about things that we should pray for. We should pray for our own collective understanding, but, you know, we should pray for our personal understanding as well, mm-hmm. you know, so that we can grow together.
Absolutely.
Right? If we don't have understanding, I mean, I'm quickly reminded, you know, Ephesians, we're talking about husbands and wives at one point, and the husbands have to understand their wives, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how much more do we have to understand each other in the church, right? And in our walks to glory.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eric. Brandon?
Well, a big broad scope of the Bible about the heart, God seeking a pure heart, good heart. You look at Pharaoh, who had a hardened heart. And mm-hmm. I pray that I don't have blinders on where I can't see God and everything around me, that I have the vision to be aware of God and everything I see with my heart. And I pray that I have that heart that's welcoming to see those things.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worse than to have a hardened heart or a heart that or eyes that are distracted
yeah.
from seeing God in all aspects of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see when I see the eyes of the heart is, I mean, you yourself, I mean, you go about your day, when you're driving, you need to be focusing on driving. You don't want to be distracted by this or that or other, or driving on Luetta and go crazy because you're busy and distracted on the person ahead of you versus your mission of what you're trying to accomplish with driving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I see with the eyes of the heart is praying that those eyes are looking for the right thing and have the vision and awareness.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Rick?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that verse 7. You know, to say to God, give us the wisdom in the knowledge of you, you know, help us to understand you. I mean, on one level we go, oh yeah, we know the gospel. Oh yeah, we know God. We know what he wants. We know how he is.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's always so much more to learn and none of us really understand God fully.
Right.
It's a lifetime pursuit to try to, you know, the instruction, be spiritually minded, that's a lifetime pursuit, you know, and so to pray for help in being that, you know, being able to see as God sees things and have the wisdom as God would handle situations, that's,
mm-hmm.
that's I have a lot of room to grow in that area.
Absolutely.
All this is about faith.
Mm-hmm.
Remember 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Many times we're guilty of looking at things with our physical eyes and not actually comprehending with our spiritual eyes. And what he's challenging us to do, challenging the saints, is connect yourself back to, like you said, this little measly sinner is praying to the Almighty God who can raise the dead. I got to believe that I'm his child and that he hears me. That's a faith challenge. Because if you don't believe it, you will limit it. You will start to rely on your own thought process and your own intelligence. And you cannot accept the wisdom of God. Because it won't make sense. As we know in Corinthians, carnal minded man cannot receive the things mm-hmm. of the Spirit. We challenge ourselves, how do we grow? And prayer forces you to examine your relationship with God and your level of faith in God.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. Yes, ma'am.
It seems like when he went back to Pharaoh, when the spies go in to the promised land and they see giants,
mm-hmm.
and God's so upset with them because they aren't hopeful. And he says, didn't you see everything I already did?
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't that have any implications for the future? Why are you not hopeful when I took you out of slavery, when I saved you from death, when I
mm-hmm.
you saw everything I did? Why did that not translate into the future in your mind?
Absolutely.
You know, and that's where he's praying that what he did in Jesus will translate into, oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
I can believe in a happy ever after because of the nature of God, you know, and what he's done in the past. And so it's not just do I know the stories, but do I believe that the stories have implications about what God's like and what my future's like?
Absolutely. Thank you, Nancy. So I appreciate all the good discussion that's going on. I want to move over to chapter 3. It'll continue a lot of the same things that we've been talking about. So I'd be glad for this to keep going. But I want to move over and look at chapter 3. So chapter 3 starts, Paul says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles." And then he goes on this long digression from verse 2 down to 13. But the words "for this reason," he's starting a prayer. And then we get 12 verses of stuff that he interjects, and then he actually really starts the prayer in earnest down in verse 14. So, you know, Paul tends to get carried away, especially in Ephesians. Like, I think first chapter or so is just one long sentence. I mean, he piles it on in Ephesians. And so when I was sitting here trying to figure out how I wanted to do chapter 3, I don't think we can avoid the stuff that happens in between. I think we're just going to have to get the whole chapter out in front of us. So, can I get somebody to read verses 2? Chuck, I like to do it. Verses 2 to 13. So this is the stuff that, you know, he starts the prayer for this reason, and then all this stuff comes in between. And so as you read, think about this too. What are some of the big ideas here, and how, and then keep that in mind when we read the prayer and think about how these two pieces fit together. So go ahead, Chuck. Thank you.
"If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory."
Thank you. So, what are some of the things you see here? What are some of the big ideas? We won't spend super long, but what's some of the stuff?
You know what we were talking about before, that we can't really understand God and God gives us knowledge? He goes over that again, kind of throughout this whole scripture. Mm-hmm. I lost some of the stuff.
Yeah. And like, when you read, you can understand my insight. Paul.
Verse 5 is the main one, where mm-hmm. he says, "I hope that you give this kind of the Spirit of God is revealed to people." And
yeah.
That's kind of what he talks about, how God knows everything. We kind of need that to be revealed to us because we do not know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thank you. What else do you see?
Bringing in the Gentiles.
That's a big piece of what he's talking about here in Paul's ministry in doing that. What else? Revelation's a piece. The Gentiles are a piece.
One thing that I noticed that stood out to me, like in between while he's talking about bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, he says that he's the very least of all the saints, and he's one of the apostles who, a lot of these letters in here are written by his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing him say that he's the very least of all the saints, even the Gentiles who, you know, he probably didn't necessarily get along with before since he was a Jew, it just makes me think, well, I guess I'm less than the very least. So
like we've seen with some of the other prayers too, maybe we see a piece of Paul's humility here. And some of that, I think, it comes from his painful awareness of his past with relation to the church.
The recognition of the gift of grace of God.
Absolutely. Grace is a big piece of this section too. And then before we actually move into the prayer, I want you to notice verse 12 in particular too. So in Jesus, we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. That's a place to come back to over and over again, because it is hard when you're aware of your past, like Paul was, to be able to come before the almighty, holy, perfect God and feel like you have any shred of confidence or boldness. But through Jesus, we can have that. What a blessing that is. So, for this reason, let's pick back up. Can I get somebody to read now the actual part of his prayer, the stuff he's bringing before God, verse 14 down through the end of the chapter.
Good.
Go, Logan.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. So, now that he's picked back up the thought that he began in verse 1, what do you see?
More strength with power.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So he's... I feel like this is taking the broader prayer that was said in chapter 1, and while it's still prayed for everyone, it's kind of more individualized. He's talking about each person now be this way.
Yeah.
So you have, I'm praying this for the church, and now I'm praying this for all of you individuals who make up the church.
Yeah, thank you. And he gives us some ends of this strength. What are they? Or what are some of the different ones that he gives?
What was it that you said again?
So he prays that they'd be strengthened. Strengthened to what end? He gives a couple.
Well, to me, it's being rooted, meaning no changing, no swaying, no moving. Mm-hmm. You've been grounded, so now take root and grow, and all the beautiful things it is to know Christ and what he wants for us.
Absolutely. That's a good phrase to hang on to there too. Rooted and grounded in love. Well, I had something to say about that, but I don't remember what it was, and I don't see it in my notes, so... go ahead, sister.
If he can do above what I can think. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a situation, Hunter, and I start thinking. And most of the time I can try to think my way out of it. Mm-hmm. But if I can, whatever I can think that God can do, there's a power in him that he can do it. That's where he's trying to get us. So if I see someone dead, I feel it's impossible for them to come back to life. He says, Yvette, no matter what your situation is, if you die in it, I'm going to raise you up to me. Mm-hmm. If you believe, I have that kind of power. And that's the sweetness of kissing the feet at the throne, to believe that it's better than Marvel.
Amen. So thank you for bringing us to verse 22. That's another place. That's one to keep in mind all the time. That, how does that change the way you pray? How would that change the way you pray if this is where you're coming from a beyond what I can even ask or think?
Looking up instead of down.
What do you mean by that?
Bless me. So much we're so entrenched in our problems. And if we start our prayers and our thoughts with God the solution instead of me stuck in the problem, and the more time I spend with how wonderful God is, the more hope I have and joy I have and love I have and fullness I have. I've got to imagine that I've got to make him bigger.
Mm-hmm.
He's not limited by what I can imagine he can do.
Absolutely. And no, I'm going to be honest with you. I've sort of worried about this class a little bit because it's felt like we keep coming back to some of the same ideas every single class. But there's probably a good reason for that. And this is one of them. I think we've touched on this every week. That part of getting this right and doing it the way that we're seeing in the Bible is making God big and keeping ourselves small.
Maybe he keeps saying it because he knows it's hard for us to get it.
Yeah, you got that right.
I mean, this isn't the only thing in the Bible that's repeated, like, you know, over and over, right?
Yeah.
And it's always the stuff that we struggle with. It's the stuff that's repeated over and over because he knows what we're going to struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the hard stuff.
Absolutely.
He knows it. So why not? He's like, I'm just going to beat it into him and maybe, somebody's going to get it if Hunter tells us this. And I'm just
Eric?
Well, I want to kind of ask a question more than provide any answer here, but 17 and continuing down, you have, or I guess it's 18, strength to comprehend, you have know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and you have be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yeah.
So those last two, right, seem kind of impossible, right?
Yep.
How do you know something that surpasses knowledge,
uh-huh.
right? How are you filled with something that is itself the fullness of all things, right?
Yeah.
God. And then you have this other thing that starts it off with strength to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
And that one kind of, I don't know, it bugs my brain a little bit because I'm like, why do I need strength to comprehend something? Like, I could understand, like, maybe patience to comprehend or
mm-hmm.
something like that. But what is that strength? And maybe there's something here that I'm missing myself about what he's saying about all of this that's tied into all that.
So, somebody want to say something here?
Please.
Let me give you a Bible example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Elijah had just told the Arminians what was going to go on about the attack, and they thought that they were going to eliminate him. So they show up overnight, surround him, the whole city, and his servant goes out in the morning, he sees all these folks around, and he sees with his eyes what's going on. Elijah doesn't go anywhere, he's wherever he is, sitting or whatever. He says, those are with us are greater than those that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, Father, open up his eyes that he might see. He goes out and see a chariot of fire around all these folks. In my mind, as a human being, I can't comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, Elijah and his faith, that's that strength to overcome your own lack of belief of what could happen, says God opened up his eyes and he can see. There's the spiritual eyes again. He sees it, and then he realized that, for me, I realized that, man, there is something else happening around me
mm-hmm.
in the spiritual realm that I can't fully comprehend nor appreciate. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's working in a level that, as a human being, I can't fully appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So what Paul is challenging in Ephesians, which he's also challenging us, there's no limits on what God can do. I gotta believe that. When I'm sick, I gotta believe that God is gonna heal me. To the point where I don't worry, I don't stress. Without faith, we can't please God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all about, for me, is all about increasing my faith
yeah.
as I read Ephesians 3.
That's kind of like this, to have the strength to comprehend what is incomprehensible.
Yeah. Was somebody else going to say something about that? Rick?
Just kind of aligning, but if you take 17 with 18, it's I think it's the strength of your faith. So like Eric said, strength by itself doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but when you combine those, that if your strength, your faith will allow you to at least comprehend just how big, you know, you'll understand more how big God is and trust that.
A little bit more liberal way to view it too is that when we, the more that we increase in knowledge and understanding and grasp who and what God is and what we need to be and do, that requires a tremendous amount of strength. You are going to be changed, and you are going to be called to be different than how you have been. And, you know, like with family members, with friends, with everywhere mm-hmm. we go, work, recreation, that faith in God is going to call us, and we need to be able to have the strength to grasp that knowledge and live with it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Nancy, you want to say something?
It makes me think of when Joshua is getting ready to lead him into the Promised Land, and over and over and over in that first chapter, God just says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. God says, I'm going to, every place you step, I'm going to win. I'm going to take it for you. But you got to be strong and courageous. And at the very end of the Bible, it says, you know who's outside? Cowards. You know?
Hmm.
Be strong and courageous.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Andy. Was there somebody over here that wanted to say
something? Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I kind of think about what David Banning was saying this morning, that we must die first, that we must give away all of our earthly appetite and have our appetite be on him. And so once our appetite is God can fill us what we're talking about with 16, with the strength and the spirit in our inner beings. So now that gets to the question, how can love surpass all knowledge? So why do all things happen? Because of God's love. God's love is why anything happens. So you think with knowledge of all the sources of the world, that's what knowledge is, kind of like all the history in the world. But the love of God is knowledge. The reason why things happen is God's love, and that's what he's trying to get us to see. So once you find him, you can find the reasons of God's love.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So I appreciate all these good answers. I've worked on that same question myself for a little bit, and just to me, the word strength there implies difficulty. And, boy, you see it whenever he says, I want you to do this thing that sounds impossible in and of itself. I want you to know something that you can't know. I mean, it feels like an oxymoron or a paradox. And that may be part of it. I think I'm reminded of Randy's tension that he brings us back to, that we're always seeking. I think part of it, too, is that as you learn more and grow more and get stronger, you only see that you need to get more and more. Like, the deeper you go, the deeper you realize it is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got to draw water from an infinite well and just keep drawing. Brandon, you want to say something?
No, Paul draws on this when he talks about going from milk to meat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a progression that you need a desire to have. It's sort of like strength training. You don't start off lifting 100 pounds or bicep curl 100 pounds. You start off with 5, 10, 15,
mm-hmm.
20. But you need a desire to continue to grow and increase those muscular cells spiritually in order to understand more
mm-hmm.
of how and dig deeper and really realize the scope of God and who he is.
Yeah.
So.
Go ahead.
He tells us to exercise our faith and to live the life. So walk in faith and be found doing. I'm reminded of Noah. It had to be pretty difficult to build the ark in the midst of the ridicule and hypocrisy and all of the things that were hurled at him, and without any evidence of something, you know, why he was building it, but to endure and to do the will of God. So his strength came in doing what God said to do. And he got stronger as he continued to do it. His strength built.
Mm-hmm.
It built up. And then it was evident what he, the evidence of what he was doing for the reason God said. You know, we don't always know the reason. You know, we do what he says for the reason he says and why he says it, but we don't always know the outcome.
Right.
We just walk in it, do his will, and the strength comes
mm-hmm.
by living the word.
Okay.
But it's about living it.
Thank you. Strength by doing. Dan, did you want to say something?
I'm a very practical person.
Mm-hmm.
So through all this, I'm thinking of how I might be limiting God in my prayers. And I thought first of people like Tim and like Jerry, that we pray for them. Do we pray that they might get better? Do we pray that they have a little strength? Or do we pray that God will heal them? Mm-hmm. And then I switched over to the spiritual. And I tend to think, well, I can't change. I keep going back to the same sin that I have over and over and over again. But am I asking God to help me with that? Am I asking Him to help me overcome those temptations?
Am I thanking Him?
Yeah.
Because He has promised He will. I mean, there's a sense in which 2 Chronicles 20, they start thanking God. God says, I'm going to take care of this for you. And they start thanking Him before they go to the fight. Mm-hmm. Because He is going to take care of, God is going to take care of our brothers and sisters. God is going to take care of them. And so we thank Him for the answer to His prayers because He said He'll take care of them.
Thank you, Nancy.
You know, when life has beat you down and you've been in a situation where you've been weak, and you may not even want to tell your brothers and sisters that you've been that weak, and you trust in God, there's a testimony that I think Paul has, that when you're weak, that's when His strength comes in. Mm-hmm. We don't even know how to describe it, but I know that there are other people in this room that has had an unction of strength from the Father where you thought you were going to collapse under something. And that is that thing that God is saying, I got you, Yvette. Nobody else may not have you, but right at the point when you think that you're going to break into and that you even may want to throw in the towel, you may be ashamed to say that. I'm going to come in and minister to you if you hold on to your faith and you love me just like that.
Yes, ma'am. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. And with what you were saying, too, connected back to the limiting God thing, somebody was saying something earlier that made me think about this, too. I wonder if sometimes the way we do that is we think of a solution and then we ask God to do that thing. Hey, I figured out how I need this problem solved. Do it this way. I think that's part of the point, saying He does beyond what we can even think. I'm just going to spread it before the Lord, like we talked about a few weeks ago. Lay this problem out, and He's going to fix this the way that He's going to fix it, because my fix is not going to work. That's why I'm leaving it up to Him. And so part of it, too, I think, is trusting God and just to turn the problem over to Him and let Him handle it. And then with the...
We really may hate it if He fixes it the way that we ask Him to. That's not for our best.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. You know, He knows what is best for us. We think we have it all figured out, but we don't. Like, He knows because He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Like,
right.
I'm just hoping to get through today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then He knows next week and next year and everything that's going to happen. But we are so, so short-sighted. But that's human nature to be short-sighted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But He knows so far beyond that that we have a hard time thinking past, like, a few days from now sometimes.
Right.
You know how many times, like, Clark and I were like, the old people, like, you know you're old when you're like, this week things are going to slow down. And then you just repeat that, like, for the rest of your life. Like, after this week, things are going to slow down. You feel me?
I feel you.
Yeah. So, like, I saw a little fist bump there. So clearly we're not the only ones, right? So, like, but that's how you get in this, like, thing. Like, after this week, things are going to be slow down. We'll have time to do this. And, like, no, like... Yeah, well, Hunter, that's the rest of your life. Now you're going to be thinking
Thanks.
That, right?
Yeah.
So, because we have so much of a hard time thinking, like, in the future, because we lay out this, like, so I need help to get through this next thing or whatever, and then we tend to do that when we're praying about things. Like,
right.
Fix this problem, and, like, we're golden. No, there's just something else. Like, and He knows that. So maybe if learning how to get through this problem in the way that He wants us to get through it is going to prepare us for the next thing that's going to come to us.
Right.
But only we don't know what the next thing is, but he knows what the next thing is, which is why we need to let him do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to tell him how to do his thing.
Absolutely.
But that's,
yeah,
but here
that's
we are
hard.
People, so that's like, that's our struggle, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, it was a mess when I tried to describe what that is, I feel like.
No, we know.
Right? It'll get better this week, right?
Yeah. We need to go grab that piece of chapter 6 here just a minute. But one thing that I thought of too when we were talking about the strength, or to comprehend the incomprehensible, I get really frustrated with our dog. She just does not understand things. You know what I'm talking about?
She's a dog.
I do. And exactly. I think maybe part of the strength to understand the unknowable love of God is to realize that we are more like that than we like to admit. Because it's easy as people on this earth who are, you know, can outsmart all the other creatures, as, you know, or we think at least, to think that, you know, we know all this stuff. But when we stand before God, He looks at us a whole lot more like I look at our silly little dog than, you know. You know what I'm saying? I thought of. We need to. There's a piece
just
of.
Just wait till you're a teenager if you think that dog is bad. Just wait.
And so there's just a couple or three verses I want to look at, chapter 6, and then one overarching thing I want to say, and then we'll be finished. We got 4 minutes, so that'll be just about right. So in chapter 6. We're pretty familiar with the armor of God thing. That's generally comfortable territory with us. And I don't know whether to say it's a part of it or not, but prayer is there at the very end of that list, and there doesn't seem to be a big break in his thought, but it's not assigned a piece of armor, and so we often don't consider it with it. But so Ephesians 6 at verse 18, which is right after the helmet of salvation verse at 17. So 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so that one's a little bit more narrow and practical for Paul, but for all the saints too. So we can say more there, but I want to ask you this too. What is something, just think about everything we've talked about tonight. There's one big thing about all this stuff that sticks out to me. I may be fishing a little too much, but is there one big thing that you see in all of this?
Go
ahead.
If the man's in prison and he's talking about power and breadth and height and all, mm-hmm. and nothing limits, he's like nothing big.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. And as far as strength and knowledge, it's the knowledge of the world,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the knowledge he has. This is wow for him.
Right. It is so easy to get caught up in our particular situation, to be focused on the jail cell around me. But Paul, from that jail cell, prays these gigantic prayers. I mean, thoughts that, you know, levels of thought that we hardly ever venture into sometimes. And so in that, one of the things I want you to take away, you know, beyond all the pieces we've discussed so far, is pray big prayers and think big thoughts. I mean, know the unknowable love of God. Yeah, like that could happen, Paul. No, we're coming before the one who can do far abundantly beyond what we can ask or even think. Pray that big prayer. And so that's my encouragement to you this week. Go pray big prayers. Don't let the... I mean, pray about the jail cell around you, but don't let that limit you, because even in these situations, you pray these big, giant prayers about knowing the unknowable love of God and having access to this power in God, even when Roman chains are around your hand, or your wrists and ankles. And so that's been one of the big encouragements to me from the book of Ephesians that I hope it will encourage you to. 2 Chronicles 20 next week. Thank you very much.